take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, September 1st, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. How are you doing today? How's your last 3 days been? Not so good on this side. Let me tell you. Whew, I don't know what happened. I went out Saturday night to the Duran Duran and Ice Cube concert. Had a really good time. It was put on by Pabst. It was the Pabst Music Fest or whatever. And about the only thing you could get to drink quickly is Pabst Blue Ribbon beer in a 16-ounce can. You could stand in line if you wanted something else, but they had all these Pabst girls running around with the, you know, just case, like a cigar girl, right? But running around with, you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. So what do you know? I end up drinking three or four of those and had a good time. But God, the next day I was just wrecked, and I've been wrecked from Sunday through yesterday. It was mostly, the worst was Sunday and Monday though. Oh my God. Cramps and couldn't think, and I couldn't sleep. You know, cramps would wake me up in the middle of the night, and I diarrhea and no appetite. And oh my God, I've lost 15 pounds, people. I literally lost 15 pounds over this thing. So I've been wanting some sort of diet plan, but I'd rather have one that's not so painful. My God. But I'm back. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for waiting for me. And for all of you who sent well wishes along the internets, thank you for that as well. One of the downsides of being an internet content production machine is that occasionally the machine breaks down and needs some maintenance. And I'll take better care of myself. Thank you for all those suggestions as well. I'm doing the best I can. All right, let's get to the marijuana, because my God, while I was out, there was a whole bunch of big stories that we've got to cover. Coming up in our Cannabis Radio News, we got some headlines for you to wrap up what's gone on in Montana, where their medical marijuana dispensary system is over, and where in Phoenix, Arizona, we are going to be voting on legalization. It's finally official. Little Rock, Arkansas, they got two medical marijuana things on the ballot. We'll tell you about that. Denver Normals come up short in their campaign for pot lounges, but pot lounges aren't over yet. And we've got a bad cop in New Mexico to tell you about. Can't wait to tell you about that one. Also, in our Behind the Headlines segment, we'll get into more detail on that decision by the Ninth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, which has decided to affirm uphold earlier rulings, that medical marijuana patients cannot buy guns or ammo, even though they have a Second Amendment, apparently does not apply to sick people. So we'll tell you all about that coming up after the headlines. Then after the 420 break, we'll get into some drug war data mining, where my favorite data mine has been updated, the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. The latest figures are out. And these figures, once again, show that all these fears that the prohibitionists put out there about the terrible things that are going to happen if we legalize marijuana are just not happening. That's coming up in Drug War Data Mining. At 5:30, we got an activist agenda. I'm excited about this interview. We've got Norman joining us from weedblacklist.com. You may have heard of them last week issuing the report that a large majority of the reviews, the dispensary reviews on the site weedmaps.com, are fake. And we'll ask Norm about that and how they figured out what it really means. In the Radical Rant today, we'll explain how medical marijuana is not legalization. If these Ninth Circuit examples and other examples aren't enough to show you that medical just doesn't go far enough, I'm going to tell you why. Then in hour two, we've got a look at the price of weed in the legal states continuing to drop. We'll tell you how far. We'll also, in hour two, talk about some new data on marijuana and the workplace, once again discounting the fears of the prohibitionists. And we'll wind things up with a look back at Alaska and their attorney general coming out against private pot clubs. It's all coming up in the next 2 hours on The Russ Belville Show.
This is The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Hello and welcome all you high-flying, die-trying, roll-a-Philly-blunt for your friend hamsters, every roach-smoking bong token, however you get your THC can enthusiasts, all you rebels, individualistic originals, and outside-the-box ganja warriors, you chunky monkey, Cherry Garcia, munchie-loving hamsters, all you captive earth surfers, astral travelers, and ganja-loving canosaurs, all you high-flying, wide-smiling, ganja-rific cannabophiles, welcome to everyone. Except Donald Trump supporters, because that's how I really feel.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo!
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a Resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, September 1st, 2016. Helena, Montana. Medical marijuana dispensaries across Montana have closed their doors as new restrictions took effect Wednesday that limit pot providers to 3 patients apiece, leaving thousands of pot users registered with the state without a legal way to buy marijuana. The restrictions begin after 5 years of unsuccessful court battles to overturn the 2011 state law that rolled back much of a voter-approved law that brought medical marijuana to Montana in 2004. It is one of the most significant rollbacks by the 25 states and Washington, D.C. that allow marijuana to be used for medical purposes. Medical marijuana advocates estimate that over 12,000 patients are losing legal access to pot because their providers did not choose them as one of their 3 patients. Kate Cholowa, Government Relations Director for the Montana Cannabis Industry Association, said, quote, "Everybody's shutting down. It's over," end quote. Phoenix, Arizona. A voter initiative to legalize recreational marijuana will be on the November ballot after the Arizona Supreme Court on Wednesday rejected a final legal challenge to the measure. A lower court judge had thrown out the challenge, saying the group called Arizonans for Responsible Drug Policy didn't have a right to sue. The High Court sidestepped the right to sue argument, with Chief Justice Scott Bales calling the reliance on the 2015 rewrite of a law, quote, "murky at best, and rather than wade into those waters, we turn to the merits," end quote. Justice Bales went on to affirm Judge Gentry's ruling, rejecting the merits of the opponent's lawsuit, saying the summary substantially complied with the law's requirement for initiatives. The ruling means that Proposition 205 is on November's general election ballot. Little Rock, Arkansas. Arkansas election officials approved a medical marijuana proposal for the ballot Wednesday, putting 2 measures to legalize marijuana for patients with certain conditions before voters this fall. Secretary of State Mark Martin's office said supporters of the proposed constitutional amendment turned in 97,284 valid signatures from registered voters,
exceeding the 84,859 needed to qualify for the ballot. Martin's office in July approved a competing medical marijuana proposal for the ballot. Arkansas voters narrowly rejected medical marijuana in 2012, and the prospect of competing plans has worried some advocates who say it could doom both measures. Both proposals would allow patients with certain medical conditions to buy marijuana from dispensaries, but differ in their regulations and restrictions. For example, the proposal that had been approved earlier for the ballot allows patients to grow their own marijuana if they don't live near a dispensary, while the latest measure does not. Denver, Colorado. The campaign by Denver Normal to put an initiative on the fall ballot to allow for regulated adult marijuana lounges is over after the Denver Election Division announced they failed to collect enough signatures. While Denver Normal turned in over 7,500 signatures for the initiative, which needed 4,726 signatures, election officials only certified 2,987 signatures as valid, meaning over 4,500 signatures were not from voters registered within Denver County. However, a broader initiative called the Neighborhood-Supported Cannabis Consumption Initiative is still having its signatures verified. While Denver Normal's initiative would have limited marijuana to cannabis-only lounges, the other initiative will allow any type of business, from lounges to coffee shops and even yoga studios, to apply for a marijuana use permit with neighborhood approval. Kayvon Kalatbari with Denver Relief Consulting, the group backing the initiative, says they turned in more than 10,000 signatures and should make the ballot. Grants, New Mexico. A police sergeant in New Mexico accused of stealing marijuana from his department has been released from jail. Grants Police Sergeant Roshan McKinney had been under investigation for 6 weeks following discovery by Grants Police Chief Craig Vandiver of McKinney's lapel cam footage, which appears to show McKinney slipping marijuana into his uniform pocket, then later giving it to his girlfriend, all while driving his police cruiser on duty. McKinney is also charged with embezzlement of $785 cash and a half-pound brick of marijuana he never turned into police evidence locker. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, September 1st, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
The cannabis industry is growing. Is booming, and as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we want to take a look at the terrible decision from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals
that has decided to uphold bans on the sale of guns and ammunition from federally licensed firearm dealers to known medical marijuana cardholders. And this is something we've been through before. Here in the state of Oregon, we had sheriffs in southern Oregon that were refusing to issue concealed handgun permits to medical marijuana cardholders, citing the 1968 Gun Control Act, which says that federally licensed dealers cannot sell or transfer arms and ammunition to known abusers of Schedule I substances. And the guidance from the Department of Justice since 2011 has been that, hey, if you got a medical marijuana card, that's evidence enough that you are an abuser of a Schedule I substance. Now, when these cases came up in Oregon, some of our best Oregon attorneys, Leland Berger and John Lucy, fought this all the way to the Oregon Supreme Court. And the state of Oregon decided that we were right, that having your Second Amendment right should not be lost because you get a medical marijuana card. But this Ninth Circuit decision looks to imperil that Oregon Supreme Court decision because the Ninth Circuit Court covers the nine Western states that include California, Washington, and Oregon. Not Colorado, that doesn't count Colorado. They're, I think, in the Tenth Circuit. What had happened is there was a woman in Nevada who tried to buy a gun in 2011 after she got a medical marijuana card. And the gun store said, no, not going to sell it to you because, you know, you've got a medical marijuana card. We can't sell to known abusers, blah, 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 federal rule. So she sued because she said she's not a marijuana user. She says she obtained a medical marijuana card as an expression of support for marijuana legalization. Let me call bullshit on that. I don't believe that for a second. I don't know whether that matters as far as what the court's decision was, but that sounds like a bit of bullshit to me. But she challenged this rule by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives from 2011. And in a 3-0 decision, not the full court, just a panel, said it was reasonable. 3-0, they said it was reasonable for federal regulators to assume a medical marijuana cardholder was more likely to be using marijuana. And in addition to that, they said that marijuana use could, quote, raise the risk of irrational or unpredictable behavior with which gun use should not be associated, end quote. Now, if you want to go get a 12-pack of Budweiser, head out in the hills and shoot some cans up, go right ahead. But no, not your medical marijuana. That could make you risky. So there needs to be more consistency on this. Obviously, the attorney for is going to appeal this to the full bank of the circuit court, a full panel. And if he doesn't get relief there, wants to take this all the way to the Supreme Court. But the other part of this that's frustrating is that the Ninth Circuit, when she made her constitutional challenge, she's saying, well, look, I got a Second Amendment right to a firearm. And this is where the wording of the Second Amendment is going to get some gun advocates upset. And it's because the Second Amendment protects the right to keep and bear arms. Nowhere in the Second Amendment does it say you have a right to buy them or sell them for that matter. And that's what this Ninth Circuit is relying on. They actually, in their decision, said that this was not abrogating her right to keep and bear arms because she already owns some guns. And since she already has some guns, nothing's stopping her from keeping and bearing those. And there's no right to go buy more. And therefore, that 1968 Gun Control Act that says he can't sell to Schedule I drug users doesn't have any bearing, doesn't have any weight at this point. She's out of luck because she already owns a gun. And there's nothing in the Constitution that grants you the right to buy one. Now, my colleague Anthony Johnson at weednews.co has written a great piece on this called NRA, Where Art Thou? Questioning why the country's largest gun advocacy group that always complains that someday the government is going to put together a list of people and confiscate their guns and take their rights cannot see that that is exactly what a medical marijuana patient registry has now turned into. The Ninth Circuit actually said if she wanted to go buy a gun, why, she could just let her medical marijuana card expire. They clearly, in plain language, said you get to choose between your health and your Second Amendment rights if you're in a medical marijuana state. And folks, that's not going to change so long as marijuana is a Schedule I substance. And we know it's never going to not be a Schedule I substance because it's a plant. What's so frustrating about this is that who needs a firearm for self-defense more than a medical marijuana patient? Someone who might be living out in rural Nevada trying to grow a few plants of their own. The fact that the NRA won't step up for this shows you how much they really believe in gun owners' rights compared to gun manufacturers' rights, doesn't it? All right, we got to take a break. Be right back.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Mentions the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on CannabisRadio.com. And don't try to debate me on something. Motherfucker, I can't do many things well. But words are my shit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, FiredUpLawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedup.lawyer@gmail.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Well, today in the Drug War Data Mines, we've got the latest from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, put out by the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration and the Centers for Disease Control. Of course, this data is very interesting to us because we've had some states legalize marijuana over these past few years, and the data are starting to come in on the effects of that marijuana legalization. Just what exactly is this doing to our society? And you know how we've been hearing from the prohibitionists for years now that marijuana legalization is going to cause all sorts of problems in America. For one, it's going to cause a massive increase in addiction. I get this one from the rehabbers when I'm debating people like Kevin Sabet or Dr. Christian Thurstone down there in Denver, head of that big rehab clinic down there. I always tell them that they're against marijuana legalization because more than half of their clients are referred to them by the criminal justice system for marijuana. You make marijuana legal and there's only like 15% of the people that self-refer. If you're a rehab, the last thing you want to see is marijuana legalization taking away guaranteed clients. And the rehab people say, no, 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 no. You've got it all wrong, Russ. Why, we should be for marijuana legalization, because with legalization will come more access, and with more access will come more use, and with more use will come more addiction, with more addiction will become more need for rehab. Why, we should be for it. And if you ever thought that was a smelly load of bullshit, these numbers prove it to you. The latest numbers from National Survey on Drug Use and Health on Americans age 12 and over meeting the diagnostic criteria for marijuana abuse or dependency was 1.6%. 1.6% of Americans might be marijuana addicts. Guess what it was last year? 1.6%. Guess what it was the year before? 1.7%. So on 2012, it was 1.7%. 2 years after we've legalized in a couple states, fewer people are meeting the diagnostic criteria for abuse or dependence. In fact, that's the lowest number it has been in the past 15 years. It was as high as 1.9% back in 2004. The greatest decreases, wouldn't you know it, teens went down 37%. Young adults went down 18%. But wasn't legalization supposed to lead to a rash of teenage pot smokers? A bunch of these kids are going to be dropping out of school and having problems and losing 8 IQ points? Apparently not. Legalization has brought the abuse and dependency rates down for teens 37%, for young adults down 18%, for 26 and older, hasn't really changed. What's that, I say? Legalization made things better for kids and kept things about the same for adults? Amazing. Now, there's some other data in here that's interesting. They found that only 11.9% of the people who used marijuana in the past year met any of the criteria for marijuana abuse or dependence. That number is down 30% since 2002, when it was at 16.7%. That's right. Relatively rare, and getting rarer the more we legalize. 11.9%, a number that was as high as 17.5% back in 2004. So marijuana dependence and abuse are becoming less common, even though more people are using marijuana. Past month marijuana use is up 35% since 2002, increasing from 6.2% in 2002 to 8.4% in 2014. Rates of use increased among every group except teenagers. That's right. Marijuana legalization caused more adults to smoke more pot more often, did not cause any more of them to seek rehab, and found fewer kids having access, fewer kids needing rehab, fewer kids exhibiting marijuana dependence. Now, this is not just one study that's saying this. There's numerous studies that are showing the marijuana use is staying the same or going up among adults, especially those over 50. But the attendant harms that were promised for that are not materializing. We have data here that show that heavy marijuana use, this is when they're talking about me, daily or near daily use, heavy marijuana use did increase sharply. About 2% of Americans were daily users in 2002. 3.5% of us are daily users in 2014. Now, yeah, I can tell you that from personal experience. When I was living in Idaho, I was much less of a daily toker than I am living in Oregon with pot shops on every corner. Sure. And I'm an adult. I'm the person who should be granted that liberty to smoke marijuana. What happened with the kids, though? Daily or near daily use among 12 to 17 year olds fell from 2.4% in 2002 to 1.6% in 2014. So once again, we find a situation where legalization is leading to more access for adults, more use by adults, but that access and use is not translating into problems. It's not translating into dependence. And the greater access and use among the adults is not translating to greater access and use among the teenagers, or harms for the teenagers for that matter. Everything the prohibitionists have been telling us would go wrong from legalization is not turning out to be true. How much longer can Project Sam, Kevin Sabat, and the rest of those guys keep up the facade? Year after year, the data keeps showing them that they are wrong. All right, we're back with our interview. WeedBlacklist.com on the Weed Maps controversy right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up!
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at MPP.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your canna business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your canna business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Activist Agenda. 32 after the hour, Radical Russ here, and we are on the line with Norman from WeedBlacklist.com. Norman, are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. How about yourself? Can you hear me?
Yep, you're doing great. This is I thank you for doing this. I haven't done a Google Hangout connection in a while, and it looks like it's going to work just fine. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
So, Norman, tell us about the organization you're with, WeedBlacklist.com. When were you formed, and what is your mission?
I think it's like just a year now, as of this month, and I made it as a public version of a tool that I made for myself. I was being taken advantage of by every delivery dispensary on Weed Maps because I was misled by their, you know, fake reviews. So I made a tool that allowed me to detect which were fake based on IP address detection. And that's what Weed Blacklist is, just a public version of that, and it's scaled.
Wow. Okay. So this was the big controversy that we heard about last week, where your tool here has discovered, what was it, like 70% of the reviews? Could you tell us more about what you found?
Yeah, it looks as if at least 70% of the dispensaries out of the 600 batch tests we ran of the top 300 deliveries and 300 top dispensaries, 70% of those have at least one set of fake reviews. And I think it's 10% have at least 100 confirmed fake reviews.
And are these all, do you all sense these coming from one particular source or a few different sources?
A lot of them are coming from, you know, the patterns show, as of recently, the new models I created this week, they show that about half of them are being created by friends of the dispensary or dispensary owners themselves, meaning there's lots of IP addresses. And there's some new data that I can't really talk about right now. I'm still working on the models, but there might be some other evidence that shows other people are doing it. So, you know, we might have another interview about that later, but
yeah,
right now I can just confirm that it's happening by lots of people.
Okay. So this, of course, made a big splash in the marijuana industry because a lot of people, a lot of these dispensaries rely on weed maps, and a lot of people rely on weed maps to find information about this. For someone who's just, you know, who hasn't got this tool and is just looking at any website for that matter, what are some of the signs that tell you that this is a fake?
Well, on weed maps, for example, a lot of the reviews are duplicates, meaning you can see it's someone posted the same title and body, you know, hundreds of times. And so when you have the IP address detection mixed in with that, it ends up pulling, you know, greater counts. So that's how someone could see it themselves. But, you know, really, it's also about the usernames. People who are doing these reviews don't spend a lot of time on their username formats. You know, it'll be, you know, a name and a couple of random numbers. So, you know, that's how I discovered it manually. And after further investigation, I found the IP address vulnerability. So that's I decided to do something with that.
Now, has anyone from Weedmaps been in contact with you?
What was that?
Has anyone from Weedmaps been in contact with you about this?
You know, I actually tried to bring the idea to Weedmaps about a month ago, and I tried to offer it to them as with a business model. And so I tried to sell them a service that would filter their reviews to better their market.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of profit potential in that. So I went and sat down and had a meeting with Doug Francis and a couple guys with his team. And it was a great meeting. It went well. But yeah, they didn't seem to be interested in it.
Well, I hate to have to make you speculate, but not interested because they couldn't afford it, or not interested because they really didn't want to get rid of fake reviews?
Well, I think they could afford it. It would have made them millions. I mean, year one, it would have made millions. So I don't think they understood it. I really don't know. I mean, like you said, it's speculating. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But I did that meeting and I followed up with a couple of phone calls trying to get an answer and didn't get one.
Okay. Now, are you looking at applying this to any other marijuana related sites as a consumer interest?
Well, you know, I have a big idea in mind. You know, we'd blacklist. The big idea for it before it was going to be a listing service was I was actually going to be like a centerpiece. So all the listing services, I would validate their data, you know, kind of like Carfax or something like that.
Sure.
You know, Kelley Blue Book. And so, yes, that, you know, I did consider that. And, you know, Weedmaps was going to be the first client, hopefully.
Hmm. And so if you can't get them to go along with this, is this possibly going to evolve into your own sort of listing service that with
yes,
verifiable reviews?
Made that decision.
Yeah. Yeah. How is that going? Right, is it tough raising the capital for that? Where are you at right now?
Well, I don't need capital for that. I've got what I need. And, you know, I'm a coder myself and I've got a couple other people working with me as far as infrastructure. So, you know, we're just doing it.
Good.
We don't need investors. We need nothing. It's we just hustle hard. That's pretty much how it goes. No sleep, you know, endless hours at night.
So had you come from an IT background? Has marijuana been your background? How do they fit together for you?
Yeah, I became a patient when I was 15 and I started coding around the same time and I became very interested in network automation. And so I've been using those tools to, you know, those skills to, I guess, pursue, you know, entrepreneur ideas and, you know, projects.
Is this problem, you know, I don't know what to call it, review stuffing, what we'll call it, faking. Is this a problem that's endemic to the marijuana industry, or is it something you're finding in other industries as well with fake reviews?
No, it's definitely not, you know, it's definitely not, I guess, unique with this industry. It's in a lot of industries, but with this specific industry, because it's smaller, it's kind of a niche right now, at least in my perspective. You know, a lot of people are faking reviews to get search engine optimization on their dispensary. So that's kind of where it comes from, is the search engine optimization. Google picks up reviews.
Gotcha. So we know that we're getting some fake reviews. Do we have any evidence of there being a coordinated system of this, of people actually, you know, paying for this? Any of the dispensary owners that have been caught doing it? Any farther this could go?
Yeah, you know, the data that I found this week with new models proves that they're, well, in my eyes, it proves it, but a lot of the IP addresses look to be very similar, meaning it suggests that proxies were used. And considering that proxies were most likely used to make reviews on multiple dispensaries, it makes you wonder who had the incentive to do that.
Yeah. Is anyone considering any sort of criminal complaints about this for fraud?
You know, I don't know if it goes that far, especially in this kind of, you know, marked in this kind of a gray area. But I mean, it could be grounds for class action in some you know, some perspectives, because millions of IP addresses were exposed.
Good point on that. Now, you said you came about this project because you'd found yourself getting kind of misled on some of these reviews. Did you find anywhere, despite the fact that they were, you know, creating fake reviews, but they were actually a pretty good dispensary and didn't need to do that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the dispensaries I personally use have zero fake reviews. No duplicates, no IP address conflicts, nothing.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where the ones who are doing it right really don't need the fake reviews, if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. And so does your site, weedblacklist.com, keep a list of who's doing it right, the ones that you didn't find fakes from?
No, it doesn't. For legal reasons, I didn't think that was a good idea.
Yeah.
But that was the original intention. I had to modify that idea to be respectful to weed maps. You know, that was, yeah, I think anybody who looks at my website will see that that was at least a priority.
Wow. All right. This is remarkable. And was this just you doing this on your own? Did you have any help on this?
Yeah, no, it's just me as far as development and everything. And now I have an infrastructure guy who helps me with, you know, scaling servers and everything. So yeah, just, you know, three people right now.
Fantastic. I love these stories where, you know, some enterprising young person just has an idea and takes it to fruition. And I love what you're doing here to help us cannabis consumers out, because I read those reviews from time to time as well. And how are you supposed to know whether it's a real or a fake or who's putting that in there? So it's an amazing public service that you're doing. Are there any other projects you're considering working on in the cannabis sphere that are a little different than this at all?
Well, you know, not right now, because this is kind of right up my alley. I haven't really thought of much else, because everything, I don't want to do something that's just generic.
Yeah.
I mean, even the listing service, that seems generic, but I found a unique way to present it to the patients. So,
yeah.
You know, I like to do unique things, but, you know, this security aspect is right up my alley. So that's kind of why I'm focusing on it.
Yeah.
The scaled abuse.
Do you see any... is there any attention given to this by the politicians in California? I know they've got, you know, that Prop 64 on the ballot and legalization's coming, and they're going to have all sorts of advertising restrictions and such. Is there any political will to address this as a problem, or are they just going to kind of let it sit?
I honestly have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I would just be speculating.
Yeah.
I honestly think a lot of people look at this as not being that big of an issue. But the, you know, the patients and the consumers and the dispensaries who are being misled, or, you know, the patients are not being treated right, I think they have the biggest concern. I don't know if there's any legal, you know, ramifications there.
Okay, so we'll have to follow up on our side. But Norman, this is an amazing story that you've brought to us, because I think this is the first time. You know, we're starting to see. You know, we had our first pesticide lawsuits, and we had our first, you know, we're getting the firsts of all these different landmark types of cases that are coming around. And the idea of getting, you know, quality data, quality reviews, being able to trust what we read when it comes to these dispensaries, especially as more and more people, as legalization happens, more newbies are going to be coming into this, more people that haven't a clue, and we don't want to start them off on the wrong foot. I really appreciate what you're doing, Norman. Tell our audience, if you can, any of the websites or contact information you'd like to get out there.
Yeah, so my website is weedblacklist.com. And my email address, or you can email support@weedblacklist.com. And right now the website, because the IP address vulnerability was patched on Weed Maps, the website currently runs reports that detect duplicate reviews. So you can see, you know, ratings based on that. And that will shortly become a listing service. And it'll be the first listing service that puts the patients first and also secures the dispensaries.
That's awesome. Weedblacklist.com. So people will just be able to type in their local dispensary and it'll pull up the information you have?
Yeah, they just copy the link off Weed Maps for whatever dispensary they want, paste it in the box on the website, and they get instant data. Well, not, you know, it's not instant. Depends on the number of reviews, because the every report is fresh. But, you know, in a couple minutes, they've got data that they can use to make an educated decision.
Wow, that's great, great stuff that you're doing there. Norm, thank you so much for joining us here on the show and telling our listeners about that. And good luck with your future endeavors. I really hope this takes off for you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Russ.
Yeah, you betcha. Thank you so much. Norm from weedblacklist.com. Encourage people to check that out on the net, because like I said, we need to have some consistency here. We need to have reviews that we can trust, and there's going to be so many dispensaries and so many new recreational cannabis shops out there. It's going to be impossible for any one person to keep track of what's good, what's bad, especially as you travel. You're in a new state. You want to head somewhere and get some decent medicine, get some decent service. You want to know that when you're looking at something on Weed Maps or any of these other sites, that you can trust that it's an honest review, that it's a real consumer review. And Weed Maps and the rest of you guys out there in the industry, you really need to consider about having verifiable reviews. You know, think like Yelp or something like that. Your business model can't last very long if everyone thinks that you're defrauding them. All right, we're back with the Radical Rant right after this, explaining why medical marijuana is not legalization.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
Hello?
Hey, are you the one that put the ad on Craigslist? It was in the personal section about, you know, want to have a little good time tonight?
No.
Nothing about, you know, any backdoor action?
No.
A little fifth base? You're not into that?
No, and I suggest you don't fucking call my phone number, you fucking perverted bastard.
Are you sure you're not the one on the Craigslist? You're talking dirty to me. Damn, she hung up.
That was good.
It was funny, though.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Earlier in the show, we discussed the Ninth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals decision that federal firearms dealers do not have to sell guns or ammunition to licensed medical marijuana cardholders. Using the 1968 Gun Control Act as the excuse, because it forbids the selling of any drugs, the selling or transferring of any guns or ammo to any known abusers of Schedule I substances. And of course, as far as the federal government is concerned, marijuana is a Schedule I substance of abuse. To hell with what your state says. And a lot of people are reacting to this in the cannabis community quite angrily. The idea that you have to choose between your Second Amendment rights and your health care is offensive to us. Nobody's taking the guns away from people. that are, you know, prescribed oxycodone, for example. But for me, I could see no other way the court could decide on this case. And what we're looking at here is the legacy of Harry J. Anslinger. Harry J. Anslinger, of course, the first head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics. You could think of him as our first ever drug czar. He served from 1937 to 1962. And Harry J. Anslinger, as evil as he was, and he was evil, folks, he chased Billie Holiday down to her deathbed of heroin and handcuffed her to her deathbed, basically. Read about Anslinger and Billie Holiday someday. We'll talk about that. But Harry Anslinger is a very evil man, but despite that, a very intelligent man, very smart man from the perspective of politics and policy. And what he did in helping to craft our drug laws was to create the Single Convention Treaty at the United Nations. He basically got marijuana added to all the other narcotic drugs that the rest of the countries wanted to keep banned. And most of the other countries didn't want to ban marijuana. Most of them were like, what? Hemp? What? Are you crazy? But at his insistence, he managed to get that through. And that treaty and the two others that followed it, that affirmed it and you know, made it stronger, are written in such a way that cannabis has to be a Schedule I drug. If you're a country that signed this treaty, you have to control it in that way. It has to be either Schedule I or Schedule II. In our terms, it's different terms in other countries. And our U.S. Constitution, as Anslinger very well knew, declares that treaties that we sign are the supreme law of the land. So we have to have the drug laws we have because of the treaties we've signed, unless we want to sign out of that treaty. And so our drug laws are set up in such a way that cannabis is always going to be a Schedule I substance, because our system, as we learned with the DEA's rejection of the rescheduling petition, is that we've got a situation where we're trying to fit a leaf-shaped drug through a pill-shaped hole. Our system of evaluating drugs and regulating them and scheduling them is designed for molecules. It's designed for consistent, reproducible doses of a particular set of molecules. And cannabis is never going to be that. Cannabis is never going to be a consistent, reproducible thing that you can put through double-blind, placebo-controlled studies that the FDA wants. Because every cannabis plant is different. Hell, you can get two different buds off the same cannabis plant and end up with different numbers in the lab. So there's no, that right there, right out of the gate, by definition, cannabis cannot make it through. It cannot run this race. You might as well be asking an ice hockey player to slam dunk a basketball. Might be great at ice hockey. It's not, his skates aren't going to do him any good on the hardwood. Cannabis may be a great medicine, but it's not going to do us any good trying to get it through the FDA's regulatory process. It's not built for plants. Cannabis, of course, should not be scheduled at all. Cannabis should be in that same legal domain as alcohol, which is not scheduled at all, but actually could be. Alcohol is a reproducible, consistent dosage type of thing that could actually be in the schedule. But of course, alcohol is culturally accepted, and nobody ever thought to put it in the Controlled Substances Act. Hell, they'd already learned their lesson from that alcohol prohibition they tried in the 30s, right? So we get this Ninth Circuit case that has to evaluate a law that says you can't sell to Schedule I drug users, and then a medical marijuana card that says, hey, I'm a Schedule I drug user. And the lady from Nevada, her argument that, no, I just got the card just because, you know, for shits and giggles. I'm not really using marijuana. I just got it to show support. Didn't really pass the laugh test for myself, and probably not for the court. But the Second Amendment is one of many of them, almost all of them, that get affected by this Schedule I designation of cannabis. Our First Amendment rights. We have the First Amendment freedom of religion, but I have numerous fans who are religious adherents that use cannabis as a sacrament, who complain that the natives get to use ayahuasca, or they get to use peyote, thanks to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. And what that did is it said, now, you know, the First Amendment, of course, says the government shall not make any laws respecting or promoting or abridging the freedom of religion. We all have the freedom of religion. But what these 93, the Restoration Act does, is it sets up a test for the government where you have to weigh it on a scale, right? You have to say, well, the government has this compelling interest to bust people for drugs because the government's job is to uphold the law and we have these laws against drugs. So the government does have an interest in busting people for drugs. But on the other hand, people do have a right to their religion. So we have to balance it off. And we have to say, is this the least restrictive way that we could accomplish the government's purpose? Is this really necessary? Is there a different way we could do this? And here's what it boils down to. For the guys using the ayahuasca or the peyote, letting them have their freedom of religion doesn't really stop the government from waging the drug war. Because not a lot of people use ayahuasca and peyote, and they're not drugs of addiction or constant use, right? You use them for ceremonial purposes, religious purposes, once or twice a season, maybe, right? Not often at all. So if we let them do that every now and then, a few Indians every now and then, we let them take their little magical trips, it doesn't stop the drug war because we can identify those guys pretty easily and not a lot of people use those drugs. But when it comes to cannabis and they try that same balancing test, what they find out is, hey, a whole lot of people like cannabis and they like it all the time. If we let them start using religiously, everybody will claim they're using it religiously. And then we'll never be able to bust anybody for pot because, well, that will show that they'll just say that they're religious. And since half of the arrests on the war on drugs are for pot, you've just destroyed the government's ability to wage the war on drugs. So I guess in summary, the problem with cannabis is it's too popular. God told you to use a sacrament that was far too popular. Should have picked one of the less popular ones. That's what the argument comes down to. And again, because of that Schedule I designation. Because of that Schedule I designation. There's no problem with any of the Catholics that want to drink wine or even give it to their kids as young as 7 years old, so long as it's for a sacramental purpose. So many of our other rights are taken away by this drug war, this drug testing, you know, busting us and judging us by not by the content of our character, but the content of our piss. And none of these things I'm talking about, your Second Amendment rights, your religious rights, your freedom from unwarranted search and seizure, your freedom to not incriminate yourself. So many of these rights do not get fixed by medical marijuana. In fact, medical marijuana continues to kind of underscore the fact that it's illegal. Only through legalization do we start to affect these. And that's not going to happen immediately either. Just like we found, the Ninth Circuit Court here is going to start taking away the Second Amendment rights of lawful cannabis users in Oregon and Washington, California, Nevada, places with medical marijuana, Hawaii, Alaska. And of course, you won't hear the NRA say anything about this. Don't hold your breath waiting for the NRA's Wayne LaPierre to come on your TV and say, my God, there's a government list and they're taking people's rights away from it. They're taking their gun rights if they're on this government list. Yeah, funny when it's a medical marijuana patient registry. NRA's got nothing to say about the big bad government list, huh? Yeah, we have to register you if you've got nausea and you want to smoke a joint. But if you want to buy a whole bunch of automatic weapons, don't register. Oh my God, that's the worst thing ever. So much we have yet to do. So never think that this day is the last one. We will be fighting legalization battles until I die. There's a lot to unravel. Harry Janslinger had 25 years to set this shit up. Hey, stay tuned for hour two. I'm Radical Russ. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.